Today, I'm just going to play a conversation that I had with John the other day about hiring his new salesperson. Now, this is his second in his business that he's got. He's got one in Athens, Georgia, and another one that he just hired for Savannah. He's trying to expand the team there. But he's hired a number of salespeople that haven't worked out, and he's learned a lot, as I have over the years. I had a pretty good size sales team and also made a lot of these mistakes. So you're going to learn a lot from this, whether it's your first hire for salespeople or it's your fifth or sixth, you're going to learn a lot from this. It's pretty quick. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw on a little quick tip that I did a while back. This is about a year ago. But I answer this question from the Wolf of Wall Street movie, where DiCaprio asks these guys, sell me this pin. It's applicable to how to sell a roof also. So I think you're going to get a lot out of that. So stick around to the end. And both of them are pretty quick, and I think you'll get something out of it. So let's get to it.
Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I am your host, your coach, your teacher, Dave Sullivan. And next to me is John Delorier of the famous Peach State Roofing. What's going on, John?
I have no water in my house. I am very thankful for running water. It's been 4 days and I have 3 kids and a wife, and very thankful for running water. So, and we may get water tomorrow. So it's rough. Yeah. You never realize how important that is.
Well, that's nice. You know, I wouldn't know because I got to run out to that outhouse in the back backyard every time I want to.
I'm literally going out to my, I'm using my mainline key to turn the water on so that I can use my hose to fill up toilets. It's so fun. But first world problems, very thankful to have running water.
There you go. I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They provide a fantastic service that so many contractors need. We're talking about giving you an inside salesperson to prep estimates, follow up with customers, and even help manage your schedule, all without the headache of hiring and training. Or filling the operations gap to ensure that jobs are scheduled and permits are pulled, and walk your customer through that 5-star experience and even get that 5-star review. SMA Support handles all the behind-the-scenes work so you can focus on what you do best. Imagine your roofing business with no more dropped balls and don't have tasks falling through the cracks. So check out SMA Support at smasupport.us. And tell them Dave sent you. All right. So what's happening? Give me an update. Let's see. It's been a couple of weeks, I think, since we have gotten together. So what's the latest? What's going on in your business and the world of roofing?
We hired a new guy, Clay. He's awesome. Very motivated. We're trying to get everyone trained up. It's still January, so it's pretty slow. Definitely dealing with a crazy GC, a custom home builder. Don't do that, people.
I told you not to do that. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, he owes us like $28,000. It's a
shocker.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, everything's going well. We're trying to ramp up for 2024. Very excited about it. Proline's definitely growing. There's a lot of new Proline people coming on board. Yeah, things are good.
Great. We talked about the business plan here recently. How's the plan coming? You're tweaking that, so everything looks good from the get-go. It's going to be a good year.
Yep. We have two very motivated salespeople and we have a really good team to support them. So we're able to hit the sales goals. I'm being pretty conservative with our numbers. that we'll talk about today or talk about another time. But it's yeah, we're excited. We're getting the one page business plan going.
How'd you get your guys?
I did the whole LinkedIn, paid for the premium thing, and got a bunch of applicants actually. And Savannah specifically,
the whole deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I don't want quantity. I want quality, and I really. It was a referral. All those applicants that reached out to me, they were like actually really good. I probably had in a 3-day period, I probably had 6 really strong applicants for this position. And the one that we're working with, Clay, the new team member, he's the only referral. And he was a referral from another business owner that I know that he's like, Clay would be great. So we did a few interviews and we're off to the races.
So give us a couple of tips, because doesn't it start with having a good ad? Well, first off, before you do the ad, you've got to clearly understand what that position is, what they're going to do.
Very clearly. That's the number one thing. Yeah. Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. You, as a leader, not only, you know, I've always known this, I'm not going to just hire and hire and hire, hire. And I'm going to hire slow, fire fast, which I've made that mistake to not do before, but I have never been one to have 10 sales reps and just go out and spray and pray and door knock. It's not how we run. So I've never really worked on our HR side of things. We use Gusto, which is really, really helpful tool. But I don't have a lot of great onboarding systems in place because I don't plan on hiring people that often. It's going to be probably one person a year, maybe one person every 6 months, depending on our growth this year. But I knew what the role was going to be because I had the other roles established, and we go over those roles very clearly with what Tisha does, what Kathleen does, what Cameron does, what I do. Very, very frequently we go over those roles. And then we just finished, Chris DeRoll just finished our process information for our proposals to let customers know our process as well and the roles that each member of our team plays. So not only do we know within our team, but we want customers to understand our process as well. So you have to establish that so that you can hire an outside sales rep so they know what they should expect and what they should not expect to do every day and every week.
We call it "This is how we work," okay, which is that process, explaining that what the customer can expect every step of the way, you know, when it comes from doing the estimate all the way to here we are finishing the job and how we talk about we're going to get that 5-star review. The only way we can do that is by giving a 5-star experience. We want to plant that seed up front. So I think that's great. I saw your proposal. That's awesome. We should really get into that at some point. I just got off the phone with Chris here a little while ago, so we were kind of going through that. Let me ask you this, though. When you're hiring salespeople, do you hire from within or outside the industry?
I think it's different for everyone, but I specifically wanted someone who can't really ask us. I use ChatGPT to help me write it, by the way. So I knew my role.
Of course.
I created a good script and ChatGPT wrote it. I did almost no editing to it after it was written. And I literally got, this is all from Facebook. I made a decision. I was going to post it every single day. So I posted it for 4 days in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Thursday I had the referral to Clay, and I had a bunch of applicants as well. A lot of people from Facebook and a lot of people from LinkedIn, but I knew the role. The role's different. If they read the description, I would actually filter out some of the people, because it's not just like, hey, outside sales, this is what you do. It was very descriptive of what benefits you would receive, what expectations you should expect of your role. Then, you know, it comes down to some more soft skills from as a leader. You need to know, this is the type of individual that I want to hire. Do you like this person as you meet them? Are they likable? Right. And ironically, he actually called some of my friends to get a background check kind of on me, which is, I thought was great. And then some of his friends were calling my friends. Like, it was a very, very healthy process. I'm all about transparency. So try to, you know, expose any possible negativity. So we're setting really clear expectations. Somebody who wants to change a career. I mean, he owned a remodeling business that he had run for years. So he understood the industry, but he has very little knowledge of roofing, which I actually do like, to answer your question finally. I don't really want to reteach roofing to anyone. I want to teach it the first time, not even just the roofing side of things. I want to teach the processes that we take for how we do business and what we do, what to expect and what to enforce for the way we install roofs, and how do we take care of customers, and what are the processes with that. So all that's really, really important to me. I like a clean slate, but somebody who understands how to deal with people. That's essentially what I was looking for. Somebody who is, you know, you can't really say this, but somebody who has kids is way different than somebody without kids. They're just motivated in a different way. And he loves his kids. And it's a strong thing to understand. You connect with your customers if you're at a similar chapter in life. As other people, they can identify with, you know, why you're doing this. Why are you selling roofs? You have kids. You want to provide for them. You want to spend time with them. He's big into coaching as well. He's been coaching for 30 years, and that's a really big deal. He wanted the flexibility of being able to coach still. So knock on wood, it seems like a really good fit. It seems like a really fun addition to the team. Everybody else loves working with him already. And so we're doing more training tomorrow morning.
That's great. You know, people are out there. Good people. They're just not working for you. So for me, I believe hiring people from outside the industry and teaching them the skills that they need, rather than somebody from within the industry that's just going to bring their bad habits, their whole attitude about how they are, you know, God's gift to roofing and so forth. So, it's just kind of my thinking. A guy that's great about this, and everybody should check this out, is Joel Patsky. You know Joel.
Yep.
He has True Works Roofing. So trueworks.com, I think it is. He's in Texas. Great guy. Now, he is a master at branding, I think, and I love what he's done. He's been on the show a couple of times. We got to get him back on here. He's a great guy. But he came from actually the hospitality business. He and his wife were running restaurants and so forth. Okay. And I think hospitality is a great place to bring people in, because, as you say, you know, they know how to deal with people. Okay, or they should, if they've been successful at it. And this is what you want. You want somebody that, you know, can handle problems, somebody that's nice, somebody that's, you know, been working for tips or bussing tables or whatever. So I think that's a great way to go. But everybody check, you know, let's give Joel a shout out. You know, I mean, he's got a great business there. So check it out, True Works Roofing. Now, I want to ask you, last question is, when it comes to pay, and when you come to discussing pay, how did you have that conversation? Obviously, you have to be very clear in your program how you're going to pay people. It's got to be crystal clear, and everybody's got to be in agreement, because the worst thing, man, you start screwing with somebody's money, you know, it's never a good thing. And when they,
it's bad.
It usually comes, yeah, and it comes a lot, so much of it comes from misunderstanding, because we didn't lay it out clearly. What are your thoughts about that, and how did you go about this?
First thing, you got to know your numbers for your business. We just talked about this for like an hour before we hit record. Know your numbers first.
Record that. I mean, that would have been a great podcast.
I know.
We start off, and this is supposed to be a 10-minute quick, you know, intro. And then we spent an hour beforehand talking about numbers and so forth. And anyway, topic for another one. So pay.
You got to know your numbers. Yeah, you got to know your numbers first to even know how to even have that conversation. Because if you don't know your numbers, your overhead cost, your profit margin, your close rate, all those things, if you don't know those things, your average ticket size, you can't even have an intelligent conversation about pay. So for what we do is 10% off top line revenue, with the stipulation that ProLine controls the profit margin and they have to hit certain margin. That minimum margin for us is 30%. And that's if that it's a huge job and they need some leeway to be competitive in the market. The standard is 35% gross profit. We have our template auto fill to 40% gross profit. So there is a 10% difference in profit to be competitive. If we have a large job, it is really difficult. If it's one of the largest roofs in the neighborhood, something like that, we're still going to make dollars. If we could make $15,000 in a day, I'd rather make $15,000 a day than $0 in a day, or not make $20,000. I'd rather make 15 that day. So it's a thing where I'm willing to give them some leeway as far as the salesmanship, but we have to hit 30% so that they get paid 10 and the company makes a minimum of 20% gross profit. Again, I want to give them the ability to do that. I talk to contractors all the time that are way below 30%. So, in our market, most people are way less than 30%. They're below 25%. In fact, there's another local contractor around here. He's just finished a job. I'm trying not to give away too much details, but he just finished a job. If he listens to this, he'll know I'm talking about him.
Talking about you.
Well, he basically posted in one of the Facebook groups, this is what I did, this is how much I charged. And almost everyone was $40,000 higher than his bid. So he was like $55,000 or $53,000 bid, and everybody was saying 90 plus. So that's how I know, at least in the Savannah market, that people are, their margins are so low. They're incredibly low. So those are real numbers. And so we have to be competitive, but I still think that we can show value, and 30% is the lowest that we're willing to go for gross profit on these jobs. And the numbers work out. The numbers work out based on my plan for those guys to sell. So obviously we'd like to be closer to 40%, but if they can't sell at 40%, we need to at least show the ability to, I want to give them the tools they need to sell. And if the company's making that much, it's fine with us, and we'll still make the certain growth. That's more of a 6 to 8 month plan. Let's see how it goes for the next 6 to 8 months. And then if we have to adjust, then we'll adjust. If we're closing at too high of a rate, then we will make sure our price increase is substantial.
Right. So what you're saying is if you start closing 60, 70% of your jobs.
Yeah. I still want to be at like max 45% close rate. Max. I want us to be really, I want customers to give us 5-star on every possible aspect of the communication, the professionalism, the materials that we use, the cleanup, all stuff. I want it to be 5 stars all the way around, except for price. I want customers to understand that they're paying a premium for a premium service. And so a 4-star on price would be great. That's what we want. That's what we want on every single job. We don't want people to feel like got such a good deal. That's, you're not winning because the customers don't really know how much it costs to run your roofing business, and you need to be as profitable as possible. There's a question on another Facebook group. I'll go really fast. Is it wrong to be as profitable as possible in every job, or is it unethical? And there's a lot of people back and forth, but it is my view that is our duty to be as profitable as possible in every single job. And the reason is it's because we have to keep our promises. We have to promise our crew we're going to pay them. We have to promise our supplier we're going to pay them. We have to promise we're going to warranty that roof after we're done. We have to promise that we're going to stay in business for years and years and years. And the only way to do that, there is no other way to do that except being very profitable. You have to be profitable in every single job.
You are so right. I mean, otherwise you're taking food away from your family's table. I mean, you have a responsibility. That's the only way you're going to get good marketing. You're going to be able to pay your people. You're going to be able to stay in business and weather the ups and downs. I mean, you know, you talk to contractors. I mean, they're not making any money. I mean, what do you mean you're charging too much? You need to charge what you need to charge to make a good profit. And
And I'll say this, it's not about buying boats and second homes. It's about having cash reserves so that when bad things happen, you can take care of your crew, you can take care of your customers, you can take care of your staff. You have to have that money in the bank. You can't not be profitable. It is not about buying a boat. It is about keeping your promises to all those people.
If you're not taking your supplier discounts, you either have a crappy cash flow controls, or you're not making any money. Okay, that's the first thing. We got a million things going on. I just want to say one last thing about hiring salespeople. I think what's important is the expectations. Okay, where you have to set the expectations. Now, you bring on a new guy, and you need to be clear on what they can earn and how they're going to earn that. You may bring somebody in that thinks they're going to make, $500,000. Well, sorry, but that's not possible the way that we have our systems set up, unless you're working 24 hours a day. So you have to really set this up. It says, well, what's a good income to you? What would be a good number where you feel that you're having a great year and you're kicking butt? And that's X. Okay, great. Here's what you're going to need to do that. Our average job size is X. That means you're going to have to sell this many jobs to hit this kind of commission. Yep. There you go. You already thought of this, I guess. Huh?
Yep. This is exactly what I sent you the other day, is setting realistic expectations. You have to lay it out very clearly for every single person so that they all understand. And I'm very transparent with the entire company. I want even the other team members to understand this is what we need to be shooting for. Our goal should be for each person so that they can achieve their goals, so that we can all achieve all of our goals.
You've got to be talking to your salespeople constantly, keeping them on track. Here's your goal. You do this, you're going to make X, and that's going to be great. Boom.
Yep.
Okay. Last thing. So that's it. Okay. We'll wrap that up.
We're almost into another podcast, Dave.
Yes, we are. So before we get into that, I want to wrap this up, but I had mentioned that I've got a little quick tip on how to sell. So I'm going to get into that. But before I do, I just want to thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby. We both love Ruby because they will answer your phone. They'll answer your phone with a professional, friendly voice, and they answer it quickly. Because if you're just rolling these calls over to voicemail, they are not going to leave a message. They're going to go talk to another contractor where they can get the answers to the questions that they've got, and they can get them quickly. They're not going to wait around. So you want to have somebody answering that phone that's going to tee up that sale, set you up with a great first impression, make you look like a real company and not Chuck in a truck. This is the number one thing that you've got to do for marketing in your business. You can't just let this phone ring and ring or roll it over into voicemail. So go check out Ruby at get.ruby.com/theroofercoach. All right, well, let's get into this tip about how to sell. And I'm going to do that by telling a little story. The other night, I had my Toastmasters class, and I go to Toastmasters every week. In case you haven't heard about it, it's a group, it's an organization. It's next to free. Anybody can join. They have chapters all over the world. You have an opportunity to get up in front of a group and make a little talk, or sometimes it's a longer speech, formal speech. It gets you comfortable with the idea of making a presentation, with getting up in front of people. Some of us are just scared to death to do that, to talk in front of a group. So this is a great organization. I recommend everybody check it out, not just for those that are in sales, but everyone. It's going to help your career big time. But back to my story. The topic for my speech was that I had to get up in front of the group and sell them something. So I'm thinking about the topic, trying to come up with some ideas, and I'm watching the movie The Wolf of Wall Street. And most of you are probably familiar with that. It starred Leonardo DiCaprio. Great movie. freaking hilarious. DiCaprio's character, he made millions of dollars selling penny stocks to people that, you know, they didn't need it. They couldn't afford them. But at the end of the movie, after he spent a lot of time in the big house, he gets out of prison and he's banned from selling stocks. And they show him at the last scene of the movie, he's teaching a sales seminar to about 100 eager little students looking for his secret to sales. And he walks up to this guy in the front row and says, "Sell me this pin." And he hands him a pin. I haven't heard that question in a long time, but it used to be that when you were interviewing for a sales job, this is going back a ways, but the sales manager would ask you, "Sell me this pin." And you would have to be able to think quickly on your feet. You need to organize your thoughts, and he's looking to see if you have any sales skills. Well, in case you're ever asked that question, I'm going to show you the right way, and I'm going to show you the wrong way to answer this. But more importantly, it can be used in any sales situation, and that includes contracting, roofing sales, home services, anything. But when Leo asks this guy, this poor guy, the question, he gets the answer, "Well, it's shiny, and it'll make you look important." And he nervously starts talking about the qualities of the pin. Leo takes back the pin, and the movie ends. And you don't really find out if it's the right or the wrong answer. But this guy shows us this is the old school of feature and benefit selling. It's got the shiny pin. That's the feature. It'll make you look important. That's the benefit. Well, that is the wrong way to answer this question. And so with a little role play, I'm going to show you the right way to answer, "Sell me this pin." Do you use a pen? No, I always use a pencil. Would you ever consider using a pen? No. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to go find someone who needs a pen. So I've qualified the need, and I've gotten out of there. I'm not wasting any time. But if his answer is yes, what do you use a pen for? Well, to sign contracts. Then you probably use a blue pen to differentiate the original from the copy, am I right? Yes. Well, do you ever find yourself without a pen? Oh, you lose them all the time. Then if I understand you, since you lose your pins, you probably don't need a real expensive pin. Am I right? Right. Okay, probably having extra pins or a bulk order of pins so you can take advantage of our volume discount is more important to you. Would I be right? Well, yes. So what I've done here, I've established that he has a need for a pin. He signs contracts. I've established myself as an expert, someone who really knows his pins about because of the blue ink. I've established that he's got the problem that I'm going to solve is that he's always losing his pins. Well, for only a few pennies more, we can put your name and phone number on the pin. Would that be something you'd be interested in? Why, yes. So now what we've done is we've expanded the sale and we've upsold the sale. Well, let me ask you, do you use other office supplies? Well, yes. Well, you probably use copy paper and toner, am I right? I do. Well, how do you buy those supplies now? Well, I go down to Staples. Well, if you're like most people, you probably wait till you run out and then you have to race down to that Staples. Am I right? Well, yes. Well, now here's a problem that you've identified, right? You may not know this, but we also have office supplies, so I can ship you copy paper and toner direct with the pens. Would that help you? Sure. Well, now you've come up with a solution and you have upsold the sale. Well, after you receive these pens and office supplies, I'd like to follow up with you after a week or so just to make sure you're satisfied with the order and everything went smoothly. Could I give you a call next Friday morning, say at 10? That'd be great. Well, now you're building trust and you're throwing in a little probe. Now, at that time, I'd like to see if we could set up an auto renewal program so you don't have this problem again, right? I'm upselling again. But first, let's make sure I have the order right. Is that okay? Yes. Okay, now you've just made the close. If you could just sign this order, I will get it shipped. Here, use my pen. And of course, it has blue ink. So what have I done? Well, let's review these four steps. Number one, I've established that he has a need and a problem by asking questions and listening to the answers. Simple, right? Number two, I was able to provide a solution to his problem, and I got him to agree. Okay. Number three, I asked if there was an opportunity to expand the sale or upsell with the name of the pen and the office supplies. Good idea. Number four, only after we established his problem, offered a solution, and most importantly, getting his agreement and trust along the way, do we ask for the order and close the deal. We got to make sure we get all of these points in and we don't skip any. Okay, you don't just go ask for the order. We have to build the trust. We have to bring him along, get a chance to upsell, get a chance to expand the order, and we're in great shape. What I did with this sales manager, I took his original question he asked me, and he asked me this to make me feel uncomfortable and see how I think under pressure, and I turned it around so I'm in control of the selling process, and that's what you need to do. You know, whether it's selling a pen or selling yourself to get a new job, whatever it is, don't make the common mistake of talking about the pen or yourself, because nobody cares. Whiff them, right? What's in it for me? I want my problem solved. That's all I care about. So next time you're in this situation, determine the problem by asking open-ended questions, provide the solution, close the deal. Okay, well, that's all we've got for today. Really appreciate everybody listening. If you are interested in learning more about our coaching programs or our mastermind groups, where we put together contractors from around the country, non-competing, and we talk about how to improve our businesses because we are all pretty much in the same boat, having the same struggles. And this way, you're learning from others and you are not alone out there. To check it out, go to our website at theroofershow.com and go to the contact page, big button, click on that, and it'll take you to my calendar. And we can set up a time, have a 45-minute discussion about your business and see if this would be a good fit for you. And we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.